so much paralyzing terror as in this hair-raising orgy of sadness.
The mouth of the streets to tell their friends how wonderful it is to be scared to death.
Hello and welcome to episode 867. I'm your host, Desmond Reddick, back with you for another great episode. It's going to be a bit of a shorter episode this week, but we've had a lot of long ones lately, so cut me some slack. I hope you've all been well. I guess that's about it. It's been a very busy week for me. It's Thursday night. It's late. Well, not late, but it's 10 o'clock as I'm recording this. Trying to get this episode done here on Thursday night for my Patreon supporters. And head on over to patreon.com/dreadmedia to partake. Was it yesterday? I put up a brand new episode of an exclusive podcast for the Patreon supporters. And they're going to get... Hopefully, as long as I don't lose my wind. It's no fun being like extremely tired and recording. Try to keep a level of energy. You know what I mean? I know I have essentially fallen asleep during reviews before. Talking about reviews this week, right? Oh, did I say everything? Yeah. Patreon.com/dreadmedia. Support the show. Help us out. As little as $1 a month. Every little bit helps. I truly appreciate everyone who does. And that's why I give them stuff over there. So, yeah. You know what? Go do it. So, what's going on this week? Yes. So, this week, I made a terrible selection for a review and we're all going to pay for it. Tom and I are watching The Redeemer, Son of Satan. You know, it's not very often you have a film with an exclamation point in the title. So you got it. You got to put a little, you know, you got to put a little French on it. You know what I mean? Put a little spin, you know? Anyway, that's what we're doing this week. I don't know. I'm trying to entertain myself. So we're going to talk about that movie. And we are also going to be talking about a Dread Media top five religious zealots in horror films. So that should be some fun. And before we get to do any of that, we have to pay tribute to a great staple of Canadian comedy who we lost just this past week, the great Joe Flaherty, a legend from SCTV going forward. Joe Flaherty was that guy in all those things. I'm trying to think about the stuff we've covered with him. He was a voice in heavy metal. Right? He was, right. He was in Blue Monkey. Remember that one? That weird movie that was pretty good and pretty funny and strange. All right. Back to the Future Part 2. He's got a small role. Happy Gilmore, of course. I mean, that we haven't talked about those, but yeah, we've Detroit Rock City, you know, Freddy Got Fingered. A lot of shit. It's a deleted scene of Anchorman. I was going to say, I don't really remember that. And then of course, all of his TV, ridiculous amounts of television, ridiculous amounts of laughs and what a great comedic actor. Yeah. He always put a smile on my face. So I thought we'd pay a little tribute to the late, great Joe Flaherty by playing a song from the only audio releasing to come from SCTV. Other than the Bob and Doug McKenzie recordings, is a record by Count Floyd called Count Floyd. And this is the song that kicks off that record, The Gory Story of Dwayne and Debbie by Count Floyd.
going to tell you a scary story, kids. Once upon a time, not too long ago, on a Halloween night, two love-struck teenagers named Debbie and Duane decided to go parking and watch the submarine races. Well, at least that's what Duane told Debbie.
Oh, oh. We don't want to let you. We're not that unkind. We just want to frighten you right out of your mind.
Oh, 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 oh. Now, Duane and Debbie were parked in the car, steaming up the windows. And little did they know that lurking nearby in the bushes was a deformed maniac. He had one eye up on his forehead, and the other eye was below his cheekbone. And I'll tell you, it was pretty tough for him to get fitted for glasses. They still talk about it down at Harry's Optical. Oh, that's pretty scary stuff so far, isn't it? Admit it!
We don't want to let you. We're not that unkind. We just want to frighten you. Right out of your mind.
All right. You know where I'm coming from. Anyway, to make a long story short, Debbie and Duane, who were in the midst of a dry run, suddenly felt a cold chill up their spines, and they decided to peel out on an impulse. Thinking they were safe, they pulled into a drive-in restaurant and ordered a couple of burgers. And the waitress said, "Well, that's all right for you, but what about that wall-eyed maniac in the back seat?"
Oh! We don't want to let you. We're not that unkind. We just want to frighten you right out of your mind.
Yeah, I'm coming home now. Listen to me. All right, in that drive-in, needless to say, the maniac just went crazy and killed everyone there. The waitress and everyone, the Debbie and Duane, it was terrible. And you know, to this very day, if you look real hard up in the Allegheny Mountains, driving by in a subcompact car, is that ugly maniac with the eyes all over his face. And on the windshield of the car is a sticker that says, "Have a nice day."
Oh,
have a nice day. Don't you get it? The irony of the whole thing. See, Duane put the sticker on and he didn't even have a very good day at all. It's a true story, I swear. All right, so it wasn't scary. Bolly, quick, pick up your axe and hit me with a solo.
Pain! Why the hell did I watch Redeemer? Redeemer! It don't make blick a sense, Redeemer! Redeemer! What the hell was up with that fucking clown puppet? I got nothing.
Oh, yeah, I will take the blame for this one. I've never seen it. I've never seen it before. It was released on DVD by some boutique horror DVD company, and I never got around to picking it up. The premise sounds amazing. And look, like we just talked about some remakes that are not impressive, but
yeah.
Like you could take this premise of like a extremist Christian slasher to great heights with a remake. So I thought this might be a cool entry in early slashers. This is 1978.
And it's also interesting in that I think it predates Halloween by a few months.
Yeah. Weird. Weird.
So we thought we were going in for something that was going to be cheesy fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it's exactly what I thought. Yeah. Fun is not a word I would describe this movie.
Although I will say I kept being reminded, are you familiar with the film Slaughter High?
Oh yes. Yes. Been a long time, but yes.
Doesn't this have weird echoes of Slaughter High to it?
If you mean there's lots of scenes of a bunch of people together and they're talking, and none of it soaks in because it's the most boring shit you've ever seen in your life, then yeah, I think you're right.
Okay. And every once in a while, a guy dressed in a funny outfit does something.
Yeah. But not often enough. Not often enough.
This film was a local production. Directed by Konstantin S. Gotchis and written by William Vernick. Shot in Staunton, Virginia, where life is cheap.
It always gets me, Tom. About this film, you told me you were going to do it.
Yes. And it seems to me that this is a film where they made the movie and realized, wait a minute, we have only an hour movie. We need about another half hour. And so the director grabbed his son, put him in the middle of a lake, and shot the beginning and end of the film.
Wow. Huh. Man.
Yeah. Okay, because it starts with a lake.
Yeah. This... dude, like, I was watching this and I'm like, what is going to fucking happen? Is something going to fucking happen?
Well, okay, so there's a lake, and we're watching the lake long enough for us to go, yep, that's a lake.
That's a lake, yeah.
And then a kid rises up from out of the lake and slowly walks over to a road where a school bus picks him up.
Yeah.
And then he goes to a school and somebody bullies him and a priest gives a sermon. And before you know it, there's a class reunion. With really unpleasant people, like the guy who we want to say is homosexual, but we don't feel comfortable saying he's homosexual.
Right.
And the girl who's a lesbian, but we feel okay calling her a lesbian because lesbians rock.
Yeah. Right.
And let's see. There's the girl who shoots the live pigeon.
Right, right.
There's the lawyer who can't be bothered. To act or to do anything virtuous. And there's the guy who's seeing the waitress, who's probably the best character in the film, because she drops him off and goes, I'll make your own way home.
Oh, right. I forgot about that.
And they're the only people at this class reunion, and there is this figure who dresses in different costumes and kills each one of them one by one. And then we go back to the priest who has grown a second thumb, who, and so has the kid who has managed to kill the bully and dumped him into some random, in the back of some random truck.
Huh.
What the fuck was going on?
Yeah. It's like nothing made sense in this movie. And then like people are talking forever and I'm like, what are they talking about? It's not even relevant.
Yes. And then there's of course the clown.
Why are we looking at this lake for so long?
At one point they go into the auditorium. And the killer, who I guess is the Redeemer,
the son of Satan,
who is dressed, has a hobo?
Yeah.
Is on the stage giving a pompous speech, and behind him there is this sinister clown marionette.
Right.
And I'm like, why is there a clown marionette? And the clown marionette comes back.
Yeah.
And those aren't even fun. There's the one where he drops the big like piece of mirror into the top of the gay guy's head.
Right.
But that's about it. That's the only fun one.
Yeah.
This is brutal.
Oh,
this...
it's horrible. It's horrible.
And it's obvious that they were thinking of actually satanic panic films.
Yeah.
Because one of the three taglines, only one of which is kind of neat, is first the Omen, now the Redeemer.
Right. So
in some markets, it was,
read that and what do you expect from this?
Yeah. You expect... I tell you what you don't expect. A fucking clown puppet.
I'll tell you what you shouldn't expect. A competent horror film.
Yeah, this is... I want to just read one other, which is actually mildly amusing. One other tagline.
Okay.
No more pencils. No more books.
Oh, no.
No more students.
What?
I wanted... But it's promising a much cooler film than this is.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, none of those are great taglines. If you want a tagline to somewhat describe the movie you're about to see.
Yeah.
But, like, look at this. So, like, here, like, strip the premise down. A bunch of old school friends are invited to a high school reunion.
Yes.
But when they get there, they're the only ones. Right?
Yes.
And they were invited by this preacher slasher who is going to kill them because of the shit they've done.
Right.
That is a fun premise for a horror movie. And this movie did not deliver on that fun premise.
No, it did not.
Because this was 84 minutes, and let me tell you, you feel every single one of those 84 minutes, dude. It's not often when I'm watching a movie and I'm kind of like, oh, I wouldn't mind a commercial about now. I think I'd like to get up and go to the bathroom.
Yeah. it's a truly painful watch. I would rather listen to the Imagine Dragons song that I ripped off. For the intro.
Oh yeah, I don't know enough about Imagine Dragons
in a loop
to know that you did that
for an entire day, or be punched in the face by Dolph Lundgren, who is in the video for this song, repeatedly for a day, then watch this movie again.
I'd like to address everybody who bought the, what is it, like the Code Red release of this movie on DVD and or Blu-ray. Do you feel good about yourselves? Do you feel good about yourselves? Do you?
See. You know who would have made an interesting... Taking the same general premise, Michael Haneke would have made an interesting film.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I would watch that.
I'd watch that, too. Hell yeah.
You know, but, yeah.
It's no Werner Herzog's Clash of the Titans, but...
No, it's not.
Perseus would soon find that it was futile.
And then the killer decided to dress up as the Grim Reaper. Because we are all encountering death at some time, yes?
you went Dracula there.
And much has The clown is turned into a marionette in the background. We are turned into a marionette by the whims of fate. We are making a better movie.
Oh, my God. This is dog shit. This movie is terrible.
And why did Shudder bring it back?
I don't know. I don't know. Well, I guess, yeah, I mean, you know what? Like, Shudder is curated, is what they say. But they do have some dog shit on there. And this is definitely an example of that. An example of that, for
this
sure.
This is... It's not bad enough to be a fuck y'all. Or a zero. So I guess that makes it a 0.5.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I'll go 0.5 too. We're doing 0.5s. I'll do 0.5.
And I think it's worth noting that on the IMDb page, there are only two people with actual photos.
Yes, I just noticed that.
And one of them is the disc jockey.
So I'm assuming the disc jockey. I was okay with it up until the very end.
Yeah. So yeah,
still his only movie credit.
Yeah. Well, I guess you could, if you're lucky, you can go to your local recycling depot and redeem. The Redeemer for like 5 cents.
Jeanette Arnett is definitely a face that I remember seeing. Small roles in TV, mm-hmm. TV and movies. So, yeah.
Well, she's working up until last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mostly in, it seems, television.
I'm sure she'd like to forget this movie.
Yes, I'm sure.
Although she looks pretty stunning in it.
She was in the Heathers TV series.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know there was a Heathers TV
series. Half of the people listening are going, there was a Heathers TV series?
Yeah, I half the people on this podcast are like, there was a Heathers TV series?
Oh, God. She was in Justified for a while, 2 episodes. Huh. So she has had her career.
Yeah, for sure.
But, yeah, no. This is no. Friends do not let friends watch The Redeemer.
Yeah, and I apologize. I really thought I was in for at least a fun ride, and it wasn't even that.
So.
Big woof.
Yeah. So what are we using to lead out of this crap pile?
Well, I thought we could play a song by the French-Canadian death metal band Cataclysm, because they have a song called The Redeemer, and they always sort of put like little samples from horror movies in their songs. I don't think they do that in this song.
Made in two languages.
Yeah. Well, I think their stuff is in English for the most part. Maybe some Latin. Okay. Maybe some Latin. You know those death metal guys.
Okay.
Anyway. Okay. Here it is. The Redeemer by Cataclysm. Thanks, Tom. And I'm sorry.
I accept your apology.
And we're back with another
Dread Media Top 5.
That's right, another Dread Media Top 5. This time, Dread Media Top 5 religious zealots in horror films. There's lots of religious zealots. You know, there's like the, was it the grandmother from Flowers in the Attic? Shit, there's John Lithgow from Footloose, you know, because dancing is a sin. You know, that shit. And, you know, I switched a couple out. It was very, you know, actually, I switched it very much out. But at one point, the top five was entirely women. So, like, Carrie's mom, you know. Oh, I can't remember who else I bopped out of there. Huh. Anyway, this is a good top five because, you know, I had to include these specific ones. And it just so turns out that the way I ordered them are sort of like they get more severe perhaps, but, yeah, you know, we'll see. Let's start with number five. You know, this has to be on the list. Lord Summerisle has to be on the list. The villain of Wicker Man is the charismatic leader of a relatively well-functioning isolated community. It just so happens that they occasionally perform human sacrifice. Yeah, I mean, Christopher Lee is both charming and scary, and just like completely unsettling in this movie. And of course, if you haven't seen Wicker Man, for goodness sake, you must. Also, this is another list of like, yeah, these are my favorite movies too. Number four, this is the first name I thought of, and I'm talking about Mrs. Carmody from The Mist. You know, she's the person that you know who used to never be like this. But then something happened and they go off the deep end, you know? And she certainly does in this one. You know, with the impending doom outside, she really makes a, she really makes an argument for biggest threat. So yeah, Mrs. Carmody from The Mist. Great movie. Also, this is just like every movie is a recommendation here. I don't know. I mean, I think most people listening to this podcast have probably seen, I would say, 4 out of 5 of these. But I'm going to name some stuff that you just might not have. Like older stuff, like Harry Powell from The Night of the Hunter. Look, here's another sort of like a religious extremist trope. The one who uses it to do ill for his own gain. And boy, what is he? Anything but a great example of a true evil villain. The fire and brimstone preacher who goes into new towns and makes friends and seduces a rich young lady and kills her and takes her money. That's his job. And this is just a stop along the way. The Night of the Hunter, man. You gotta watch this movie. Good shit. Number two, is Dad Meeks from Frailty. They never actually named that character. I keep forgetting that. Bill Paxton wrote, directed, and stars, as Dad Meeks, in Frailty. As the kind of religious zealot that takes it way too far. And I'm not talking about your friend that went over the edge. I'm talking about the person with dangerous beliefs. Like, lots of people walking around are demons. That kind of dangerous belief. And also the forcefulness and the surety of it all. It just, yeah, I don't know. So good. So good. Paxton's great. And just like his influence on his boys, it's so scary and so intimidating. But yeah, great movie, Frailty. I've been, most of y'all have probably seen Frailty. I've been shouting about Frailty long before Dread Media was around. I love that movie. Way back when I just had a blog, I had Frailty on a top list of my favorite horror movies, and it was up near the top. But the number one is perhaps the most egregious. I would say, yeah, probably the most egregious. I'm talking about someone who spends their life developing a network worldwide. One that has the sole purpose of abusing, kidnapping, torturing, imprisoning, torturing, repeatedly dehumanizing to the point so close to, yeah, well, for religious purposes. I'm talking about the Mademoiselle from Martyrs for such a very short period of screen time. She makes a pretty incredible impression on that movie. And I think that's all I'm going to say about that. I'll leave it at that. But goddamn, the Mademoiselle is actually she's one of those characters where it's not like, you know, you see the danger of Bill Paxton. She sort of comes across as sort of like a weird matronly type in this movie, but it's the, it's the implication, you know, for It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia fans, but it's what's implied about this entire, you know, this worldwide secret society dedicated solely to this, to try and learn about the other side. Man, what a disturbing and powerful film. And I hope that didn't spoil it for you, but listen, it's the journey, and there's a lot more to say about the ending than that. And I did not spoil it. But yeah, that's a character that only shows up in the end. So it's one of those. Yeah, that's the top five. Oh my goodness. Running out of breath there. Let's play a couple new songs on our way out of this episode. First up, we're going to play a brand new song from Isan. Isan, formerly a member of Mayhem, now, solo, I don't know. My iTunes says, unknown genre for this one. and that came, I think, from Bandcamp. I can't even remember at this point. But, I would sort of, this record for me veers a lot more towards like black metal, symphonic black metal. I would say sort of like experimental symphonic black metal. I don't know. See what you think. This is Pilgrimage to Oblivion by Isan. When the sweet taste of wine on my lips, when the veils go filled with vision, this science has formed to compulsion, my being, my fire. is us, my friends. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode as much as I did putting it together for you. And if you did, why don't you show some support for the show by going to patreon.com/dreadmedia. Patreon.com/dreadmedia is where you can support the show for as little as a dollar a month. And it's almost 11 on Thursday night. I am going to give this episode to the patron dreadites tonight. If anybody's up super late, they can check it out, or they can check it out tomorrow, which is still 3 days early. So, yeah, there you go. Yeah, I guess that's it. You want to let me know what you thought of the episode? dreadmediapodcast@gmail.com. I'm on Twitter and Instagram and Blue Sky as Dread Media. I'm on Facebook as me, and there's a great Facebook group just called Dread Media. DJ's Domicile of Dread.blogspot.com is where you'll find what Tom DJ's got going on. We'll get out of here with a brand new song. They sent me this brand new album. I don't even know when it comes. Maybe it's already out. Let's see here. All right. Well, it does not have it's got a 2024 release. I think this is still not out yet, but, they sent it to me, the brand new record. Oh boy. Okay. I don't know how to pronounce this. It's very rare I open up like a web page to pronounce a name. Einstürzen Neubauten. I guess they're experimental rock, industrial at times. This is their brand new or upcoming record, Rampen APM, which stands for Alien Pop Music, from Einstürzen Neubauten. And let me tell you, my friends, this song is going to be the most disturbing thing you've ever heard that has the title Everything Will Be Fine. You guys take care of yourselves, take care of others, and we'll see you next week.
Darstellen soll und mir nichts weiter übrig bleibt, als den freundlichen Molekülen meine ausgestreckten Arme entgegenzuhalten, mit der Bitte: Hier, 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 kommt her, haltet euch an mich, so dass wir vielleicht in irgendeiner Form eine nützliche neue Existenz eingehen. Hier oder am nächsten hier oder am übernächsten hier, was auch immer sich anbietet dafür. Everything will be
fine.
Brandlinien, Schnittmenge, spontanes Bombardement. Wo kann ich denn noch hingehen? Oder ist das schon die End? Ich habe keine Seite und mein Entsetzen keine Form. Der Rabe hat sein Lied verloren, nevermore and nevermore. Everything will be fine. Es glaubt wenig. Menge, spontanes Bombardement. Wo sollen wir denn jetzt noch hin? Or is it all that end? Neuseeland ist vorüber, das kommt leider manchmal vor. Der Rabe hat sein Lied verloren. Nevermore, nevermore.